On the Fringe with Dan, radio style. Hope everybody out there's having themselves a great day. All sorts of information is coming out today. Today, there's explosive stuff's happening. Deep state is in a bigger and bigger problem every single day. More and more people are waking up to the fact that we are totally being lied to all over the place. And yeah, I've got a heck of a show going on today. A lot of stuff that's pre-recorded. So it's going to be, let's just try to get into it because I don't want to waste too much time. Luke Rudkowski posted something. If you trust the government, you are not paying attention. When I hear someone say the government would never do that, and then he's got a few examples here, MK Ultra poisoning, Tuskegee experiment, the poisoning at St. Louis, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods. I hadn't heard of MK Naomi. I got to look that one up. And then Elon Musk responds, not a completely unblemished record. People are talking about it. It's out there. It's out there in the big circles, too. Millions of viewers are seeing this stuff. 2.2 million views at the time this was showed. I'm sure it's been much higher than that. Now, we've got SecDef Chris Miller just kicking ass. This guy was brought on with Joe and Mika, or whatever the hell her name is. And they were doing everything they could in their power to get him to say something bad about Trump. And I'll tell you what, I think he held strong, and I think he did a brilliant job. Check it out.
New York.
I mean, certainly, as you know, there were calls from congressional leadership. Eventually, the vice president said, we need the National Guard.
Already been activated.
So at that point,
11:04, got the requested, or I'm sorry, at 3:04, got the requested at 1500, 3 p.m.
Is that when the vice president called? Is that?
No, he called way later. Secretary McCarthy came in with a request for additional support. I'd already made the decision we were going to activate, but you got to let the, and this isn't some bureaucratic thing, you got to let the process move.
So you said 3:04, and who made that request that got you guys moving at 3:04?
3 o'clock, Secretary McCarthy and General McConville of the Army Chief of Staff showed up at my office, said, here it is, we've got the request.
Did you, from whom?
From the mayor of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Did you ever hear from President Trump that day?
No, didn't need to.
Okay. And in that moment, after watching his action or inaction that day, there were other concerns. David knows this well. Voices of the military that President Trump was still in office for two more weeks at that point, that he might use the military at some point then, call for some sort of either strike or, you know, overseas, or potentially deploy the ask to give you some sort of order at home. Did you share that concern?
No, not in the least. I just thought.
Why not?
I thought it was just political bluster and hyperbole. And I knew that I was very confident based on my experiences with the president's decision making in national security and foreign policy. We'd been through a couple repetitions by this point. I wasn't concerned at all.
You didn't think that he might invoke the Insurrection Act?
No.
You talked about it.
No, because I've been told that he was. Wasn't going to invoke the insurrection.
Who told you that?
I heard that from one of his people, Johnny McEntee. He was
on that day. He said the president.
No, not on that day. A couple days prior. So I wasn't concerned. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Okay, I guess
But every Secretary of Defense preceding you was concerned.
Yeah, I mean, just watching him and knowing him, how could you not be? He's very unpredictable, and he says he's going to do certain things, and people have learned over time to believe him. And, you know, you look at different events in this presidency, starting at Charlottesville. You didn't have any of these concerns?
When we were dealing with foreign policy and national security decisions, all of my experiences, interaction with the president and his decision making, I was very comfortable with. If I wasn't, I would have left. I mean, that's how it works.
Let's go to...
Boom. I mean, boom. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, something that's very important to point out is there's some growing evidence of why maybe Trump was so adamant about getting Space Force created. Check out this interesting video we have of a Chinese satellite apparently passing over Hawaii and sending down green lasers. Now, I don't think these lasers are meant to cause harm as much as maybe something else, but it's... Wow, they're shooting down green lasers, folks. That's all there is to it. Now, it's supposedly some sort of weather satellite or some sort of protective, you know, like looking at the atmosphere or whatever. China's in the game, folks. China's in the game, and they are certainly doing some interesting, quote, environment monitoring satellite So, yeah, lasers over Hawaii now. Want sharks with freaking laser beams on their foreheads. Biden's State of the Union, we've talked about it. We're going to talk about it some more. It was a huge flop. Apparently, young viewers did not show up. This is like the hope of the future for the Democratic Party. And it doesn't seem like they're reaching their key audience. Latest Nielsen numbers show Biden's speech drew an estimated 27.3 million viewers, which is very impressive. But it's a huge plunge. 29% from last year. Last year alone, he's down 29%, which marked the lowest audience for the State of the Union address in the last 30 years. Biden barely edged out the low of 26.9 million viewers that slogged their way through his 2021 speech to a joint session of Congress, which wasn't technically considered an official State of the Union speech. Even more disappointing for Democrats, viewers aged 18 to 34, a key voting demographic that the party has shamelessly pandered to with the ultra-woke agenda, right? That represented 5% of their audience. Of the 27.3 million viewers, 5% of them are the future of their party. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Not good at all. One thing Cheryl said on a tweet here, which is pretty damn funny, Biden setting records. Record inflation, record human trafficking, record drug trafficking, record child sex trafficking, record Americans left behind enemy lines, record COVID deaths, record supply chain crisis, record crime wave, record promises not kept. He's done a damn good job. I think he's broken most of the records. The most number of records ever. Ever. So, yeah, again, we've got a lot of crazy going on. Now, Kevin McCarthy goes viral for his priceless facial expressions behind Biden during the State of the Union. The eye-rolling, infamous thing. But we got McCarthy kind of talking about this. He's given his sort of take on it in a very non-partisan way. Very well done. Let's just say that. He's saying something without saying something. Closer to that.
You know, I don't believe in the theatrics of tearing up speeches. I respect the other side. I can disagree on policy, but I want to make sure this country is stronger, economically sound, energy independent, secure, and accountable.
Bam, right? Just that. But here is the infamous tweet and his little eye roll moment, his little not having it moment. Check it out.
As you all know, we used to be number one in the world in infrastructure. We've sunk to...
Wait, was that Pete?
13th in the world. The United States of America, 13th in the world in infrastructure, modern infrastructure. But now we're coming back because we came together and passed the bipartisan infrastructure law, the largest investment in infrastructure since President Eisenhower's interstate highway system.
I freaking love it. Is he not like the worst? He sucks, man. He's just a terrible president. He's a terrible speaker. He's terrible at speaking. He's terrible at delivery. No offense, but like, you know, Juan O'Savin does the yelling thing. I don't know what the yelling thing's all about. I don't know if it's it seems odd when either of them do it because they choose weird times to start yelling. It's just strange. And again, I'm not trying to be mean to Juan. I'm being mean to Biden. Yes, not Juan. Juan's cool. He's a good guy. I like what he's doing, but I don't understand the yelling thing at all. At all. I just don't think it's effective. Let's put it that way. So never had a president been called out like this on live State of the Union. And this is powerful because he is making shizzle up, lying on the State of the Union and got called out on it live by Congress members. Oh, I love it being alive today.
All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. And I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans.
He is such a special, special person. Bless his soul. So yeah, this is just crap. I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene's got some good stuff. We've got too many other videos to check out, so she's not getting it. Now, DeSantis did finally respond to Trump, but he did it in a... Dude, I don't know what the hell's going on between these two. There is something strange. I kind of think they're both in on it. DeSantis does not, and he's been good about this. He's not attacked so much. He kind of does a little bit on this one, but I still think it's interesting. Again, I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think, but he could take things in a different direction than he does. That's for sure. Check it out.
Through social directed at you, some were insinuating that you...
So here's what I would say about all that. I get you guys want the controversy.
How would your proposed legislation against defamation address those posts that could be considered damaging?
Well, if you think when we did the defamation panel yesterday, I made the point, look, I have a platform. It's different for me because I can fight back and people just know I face defamatory stuff every single day I've been governor. That's just the nature of it. But I have a platform to fight back. A lot of these other people that are more little, they don't necessarily have a platform to fight back. And so in terms of our reforms, I really want to empower them more so than people that occupy high positions like me. It just goes with the territory. You got to have a thick skin. It's also just practically speaking, I would not take time out of being governor to be fighting lawsuits. It's just not practical in terms of what we're doing. And I'd also just say this. I spend my time delivering results for the people of Florida and fighting against Joe Biden. That's how I spend my time. I don't spend my time trying to smear other Republicans.
Wouldn't mind. I'd like to get back to Reedy Creek.
Sure.
One of the provisions in the bill that was passed.
So, strong words. And I will say, I like DeSantis. I like what he's done. Now, I'm also going to say, DeSantis, if we find out that you are a deep state fool, then yeah, you will be destroyed. There's no question. I mean that politically. I mean that from your career. Like, you will be destroyed. You will not survive this if you are not 100% tried and true a patriot. Now, is this potentially a little thing that's meant to pull some people out of the weeds? I kind of think so. That's my hunch right now. Again, DeSantis isn't attacking back, which to me indicates that he gets, one, what side his bread's buttered. Because Trump's people are pretty much who got him into office. And a lot of the people that are the biggest, staunchest supporters of this guy are also huge Trump supporters. Now, the thing that's also interesting that's pointed out by this, I think there's a small percentage of people that are very turned off by Trump hammering on DeSantis. Totally get it. But at the same time, I think he's demonstrating, look, I can say this. DeSantis, can you? And I think DeSantis realizes he can't. DeSantis realizes if he attacks Trump head on, he's in the quicksand. He's done. He's done. That's how powerful you and I have become. That's what you want to keep in mind. Now, General Flynn actually made he made a great statement here, though it's showing up in Gateway Pundit. Apparently, Nord Stream 1 and 2, Ukraine oil and gas, Obama, Biden, Pelosi, Romney, Kerry, Feinstein, war in Ukraine, war with Russia, banning all gas appliances in USA are all the same story. Follow the money and the white rabbit, as they say. But General Flynn... Vice President Biden visited Ukraine 12 to 13 times in his last year of VP. All of these trips need to be investigated. Why was he going there so often? How did Hunter get on that Burisma board making $87,000 a month? How have all these things happened? Now, it's the proof's in the pudding. It's coming. The truth's coming out. They can't keep hiding it. They're running out of options. Now, there is more evidence right now that the West sabotaged peace in Ukraine. Now, a lot of weight is being given to this gentleman that has kind of broken this story, this journalist. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a sec. But former Israeli Prime Minister Bennett, I'm just going to say that because I'm Naftali, I think maybe, said in an interview posted to his YouTube channel on Saturday that the U.S. and its Western allies blocked his efforts of mediating between Russia and Ukraine to bring an end to the war in the early days. On March 4th, 2022, Bennett traveled to Russia to meet with President Vladimir Putin. In the interview, he detailed his mediation at the time of Putin and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, which he said he coordinated with the U.S., France, Germany, and the U.K. Bennett said that both sides agreed to major concessions during the mediation effort, but ultimately, the Western leaders opposed Bennett's efforts. I'll say this in the broad sense. I think there was a legitimate decision by the West to keep striking Putin and not negotiate, is what Bennett is saying. When asked if the Western powers blocked the mediation efforts, Bennett said, basically, yes, they blocked it, and I thought they were wrong. So now we're finding out, through legit sources, that your Bidens, your Johnsons, your all these people in these Western countries, France, Germany, UK, us, Canada probably, all were fighting against peace. Literally, fighting against peace. Why?
The deep state would the government would never do that.
Government's not what we think they are. Why would they try to keep peace from happening? Why does it matter so much that Ukraine wins? All these things are giant-ass red flags. Now, Hirsch is this guy that wrote this article. He's the one that's claiming that the United States damaged the pipeline. Now, I will say, from a deep sea standpoint, deep diving standpoint, there's really two countries that can do this. Us, United States, literally the United States. And it's not just training. Like, we have a camp. I think they talked about it being in Florida. I don't know if it's in this article or somewhere. It might, maybe it'll pop up. But there's an actual old World War II-like building. This is a bland building. It's got the largest indoor swimming pool. And they literally train the deep-sea diving people for the Navy. We and Russia are the only real two countries that can do extensively deep-diving-type stuff. Now, Russia, as much as the deep state wants us to believe, they damaged their own pipeline. That's stupid. It is. I'm sorry. You don't damage the infrastructure. It would be like me, instead of just flipping the power switch to turn off the light, I actually smashed the light bulb to turn off the light. That's stupid. I could have used the switch. I've got control of what goes into that pipeline. Why would I destroy the pipeline? If I ever want to turn it back on, I wouldn't be able to. So the people that would likely want to destroy the pipeline are people that have, well, a hope that Russia's never able to continue to make money. Who would do that? Deep state. Deep state. Biden, which is a deep state bastard, he's getting called out big time. But Hirsch is a Pulitzer Prize winning investigative journalist who exposed the 1969 massacre of Vietnamese civilians by American forces. He also broke the story of U.S. troops brutalizing Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib, after the U.S. invasion in 2003. Last June, the Navy divers operating under the cover of widely publicized midsummer NATO exercise known as Balt Op 22 planted the remotely triggered explosives that 3 months later destroyed three of the four Nord Stream pipelines, according to a source with direct knowledge of the operational planning. Two of the pipelines, which were collectively known as Nord Stream 1, had been providing Germany and much of Western Europe with cheap Russian natural gas for more than a decade. A second pair of pipelines, called Nord Stream 2, had been built but were not yet operational. Now, with Russian troops massing on the Ukrainian border and the bloodiest war in Europe since 1945 looming, President Joseph Biden saw the pipeline as a vehicle for Vladimir Putin to weaponize natural gas for his political and territorial ambitions. So we're finding out that Biden got directly involved in shutting down this pipeline. Now, again, this is where they talk about this Navy diving and salvage center. So again, this is out in rural Panama City on the Alabama border. They've got this giant building, and they were out there during Balt Ops. Now, I can't confirm. No one can confirm this stuff. It's from sources. But I will say this, Deep State. Sounds like people within your organizations are, maybe telling us, telling the white hats, what's been going on? Now, the way I think this played out, assuming there's some truth to what he said and then the way this plays out, but yes, the diving training is very, very cool, right? And then obviously, Bush gaskets shut down. Now, here's a very cool little graphic. Is it here? Yeah, here's the graphic. Yeah, we'll do the graphic first since I'm talking about it right now, and then we'll read the other thing. But this is how the alleged bombing happened. So we had a P3. I think it's P3. I think it's Ryan, even if I'm getting that right. Hopefully Poseidon, one of those two. I think Poseidon. Anyway, P3. Oh, sorry. First, Navy divers plant remote-controlled C4 on pipeline. Then during the games or whatever, well, September 26, 2022, actually. So the games were back in June 2022. That's when they planted the explosives. Then when they wanted to finally blow them up, they send out a plane. Very common to see one of these out there and very common to see it, especially what's going on out there in the Black Sea. Very common to see it dropping sonar buoys. That's how they try to find submarines or any other crazy stuff underwater. So what they're claiming happened is they dropped a sonar buoy. This sonar buoy emitted a specific sequence of frequencies that triggered the C4 and bada boom, bada bing. And within a very extremely short period of time, managed to blow up these pre-planted devices. Makes a lot of sense. Now, what's also interesting, if you guys remember, and the story was that somebody had gotten into the iCloud's back end or whatever and was able to see, I don't remember what the chick's name was that was running the UK for like 4 days or whatever the hell she, however long she was there. It was like 2 months or something like that. But she supposedly texted or communicated, I think texting, to Biden saying it is done right after the explosion, which would imply to me that they might have had something to do with dropping the buoy. The buoy was always, we'll pop this thing down when we're ready to make this happen. We don't want anyone to know we're doing it. And that's why I was laughing at all the people that were looking at planes that were flying above the area during the day of the explosion. And they're like, ah, here it is. This is the people that did it. I'm like, there's no damn way they're that stupid. So kind of validating what I was saying back then. And again, I can make claims. You can go back and listen. Hopefully those of you that have been with me all this time, you're like, yeah, I think I remember you saying that. I hope. So that being said, this is what they're claiming happened. I can't disagree. I can't agree. I don't know. It makes sense. It's weird that it's coming out. Now, what we're seeing is in December of 2021, 2 months before the first Russian tanks rolled into Ukraine, Jake Sullivan convened a meeting of a newly formed task force, men and women from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the CIA, and the State Treasury Department, and asked for recommendations on how to respond to Putin's impending invasion. What became clear to participants, according to the source with direct knowledge of the process, is that Sullivan intended for the group to come up with a plan for the destruction of the two Nord Stream pipelines, and that he was delivering on the desires of the president. Everyone involved understood the stakes. This is not kiddie stuff, the source said. If the attacks were traceable to the United States, it is an act of war, unquestionably. Throughout all this scheming, the source said, some working guys in the CIA and the State Department were saying, don't do this, it's stupid, and will be a political nightmare if it comes out. In a compelling 5,000-word report about the alleged attack, Hirsch claims diving experts trained at the U.S. Navy Diving and Salvage Center in Florida planted the explosives. The divers are said to have carried out the top-secret and highly dangerous operation during Baltops 22, a series of military exercises, right? The U.S. divers reportedly used the highly publicized 13-day event in June 2022 as cover for their top-secret mission. Sometimes you've got to wonder if these things are specifically designed, this belt op, so top-secret missions can happen. Because, again, you can't just have stuff happen. People pay too much attention. But when you got a whole bunch of crap floating around at one time, you can sneak around and do all sorts of crazy things. So the C4 explosives attached to the pipeline were fitted with sensors that enabled them to be detonated remotely at a later date, Herschel reports. And then, of course, on September 26, 2022, a Norwegian Navy P-8 surveillance plane made a seemingly routine flight. It was a P-8, not a P-3, so good job, Dan, on that. Dropped a sonar buoy. Signal spread underwater initially to the Nord Stream 2 and then to the Nord Stream 1. A few hours later, the high-powered C4 explosives were triggered and all three of the four pipelines were put out of commission. Within a few minutes, pools of methane gas that remained in the shuttered pipelines could be seen spreading on the water's surface and the world learned that something irreversible had taken place. Spokesman for the White House said the report is false and complete fiction, of course. A spokesman for the CIA said this claim is completely and utterly false, of course. By the way, probably the same people in the CIA that told us that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian fake stuff. They were wrong. So, weird. CIA might not be too easy to believe you. White House, we definitely can't believe you. You were caught lying so many times. Russian Foreign Ministry says the Hearst report reveals new facts that must be answered to. However, with spokeswoman Maria Zakharova stressing, we have repeatedly stated Russia's position on the involvement of the United States and NATO, noting that they did not hide it, bragging to the whole world about their intention to destroy the civilian infrastructure through which Europe received Russian energy resources. So yeah, we are getting very, very close to things getting even crazier. Now here's what we're hearing. Russia is massing 1,800 tanks, 700 aircraft, and 500,000 men for a new Ukraine assault in 10 days after Zelensky begs UK for jets. Now, I don't know how tight we are in the 10 days, but I do know you're not going to amass a bunch of troops and just leave them there. And you don't want to amass a bunch of troops and leave them amassed without doing anything for large periods of time because it's confusing. But at the same time, the enemy may know what's coming, but they don't know when. And sometimes when is an interesting thing. So who knows? Maybe they're waiting for proper weather. Maybe Russia's planning. Who knows? I don't know. I could speculate all damn day long. Apparently, there's a lot of stuff from what we're hearing being prepared to run into Ukraine. Now, they're talking about coming in kind of from the Donbass region, coming straight in through, maybe up through Crimea as well. So really, a lot of this push is going to come through probably the eastern portion of Ukraine. And then likely, Belarus has probably got a whole bunch of stuff kind of lining the north. And if anything crazy happens, they'll likely come in. I think Belarus is hanging on just in case it needs to come in. Maybe they're going to be part of the onslaught. Hard to say. I mean, that would be brutal. And that would be powerful, especially if they are amassing over here in the Russian-Belarus, where the borders are, because that's right above Kyiv, as they call it in Ukraine, or Kiev, as the rest of us call it. So again, if they're going to do a push straight down into that, very likely. So within a very short period of time, folks, it looks like this Russian situation is going to get a little crazier. Now, Zelensky begging for the UK for fighter jets. Once again, I just want to point out he's dressed up in his finest sweatshirt. Looks fantastic with his military combat. Like, it's like, dude, you're a head of state. It just blows my mind that the dude's like, oh, I'm in my war clothes. This is my war pajamas. I wear them all the time. I don't know where the hell that accent's supposedly coming from. Not likely anywhere near where he lives, but yeah, so this is the dude, the Ukrainian prime minister dude. What's his face? I don't know his name. Sorry, guys. You guys keep changing prime ministers on us. What's this dude's name? Oh, he went and saw the king, too. Dressed up for the king, if you'll notice. Oh, yeah. Looking tight. Not even the same color green. I mean, I don't know. Should he match or shouldn't he? Maybe this should be black. I know I'm too into the fashion. And I did. I finally confirmed, speaking of my fashion problems I have right now, Kyrsten Sinema, that was her in that ugly-ass yellow dress. Oh, my God. That was the ugliest damn dress. And they showed, like, they panned out. You're like, oh, eyesore. There she is. Oh, gross. Gross. In fact, she was on her phone during one of the little applause moments. She wasn't paying attention. She's like, yeah, no, I've almost got the high score on Candy Crush. Oh, sorry. Yay. Yeah, I'm so stupid. So stupid. Oh, yeah, Boris Johnson's like, dude, every single plane we got, Britain, every plane we got, mate, we need to give to them. Screw it. We don't need any help. I don't know why I'm trying to abuse accents today, but it's fun for me, I guess. Maybe that's part of it. 100 Typhoon jets and tanks and all of it. Give it to them. Give it to them. And, hell, we won't even charge you 5 cents for the plastic bags. Yeah, the tanks come in. I was being sarcastic. Of course, tanks don't come in plastic bags. That would be silly. They might attach them to the turret, though, maybe to keep it clean or something, but whatever. So yeah, Boris Johnson, who's, well, he's part of the problem. He's deep state piece of crap, for sure, pretty sure, even though they're potentially bringing him back. I don't even want to pretend I understand what the hell's going on in Britain right now. Don't even want to pretend. But the UK is providing an update, apparently, on these fighter jets for Ukraine, that Zelensky was there dressed up, dressed to the nines in his Yes's sweatshirt. Yeah, London has no immediate plans to transfer military aircraft to Kiev, the British Defense Secretary says. So a lot of talky-talk. Oh, yeah, no, we'll give you plenty. We'll give you everything you want. Everything you want. All right, you have a nice day. Bye, Zelensky. Have a good one. Bye. No, we're not giving him crap. Are you kidding me? No, he's probably going to make this war worse. At least, that's what it seems like at this point. Now, Russia has cautioned the West against bringing warplanes into this. They're like, dude, you guys are just walking up to the line of escalation, man. You guys are pissing us off. That's basically what Russia's saying. You're pissing me off. Not all these things react well to bullets, would be something they might say. So yeah, and that might be partially why UK's like, yeah, no, we're not doing it. I mean, it's stupid. And this would be instantly dumb. Everything you give to Ukraine, first off, you got to train them how to fly these things. Second off, and I think if there's any pilots out there, you guys can back me up on this, but you get better with time. The longer you've been flying, especially a specific aircraft, the better you are flying it, especially when it comes to combat techniques and all the different stuff that you guys do, right? So, yeah, just because you got a bitchin'-ass airplane, you could put me in an F-22. I could probably fly it. I could probably land it. I could probably take it off. I mean, with some quick, you know, walk through some stuff, you know, flaps. Okay, cool. Because I probably could. Going to get shot out of the sky almost instantly, though. Almost instantly. Because I have no real true combat training. Not at all, right? So, again, just because you put some schmuck in the seat that knows how to fly, it doesn't mean he knows how to fight. So, yeah, Russia's like, yeah, I dare you. Now, we've got Western companies, Germany, this German company called Siemens. Anyway, Siemens. That's right. Still kind of funny, isn't it? I know. I thought so. These little turbines they make that go into these power generator, I think these are the things that move the gas, you know, the pipelines, that stuff. They make these and they've stopped giving them and they've stopped maintaining them with Russia because of this crazy conflict and this, the Western countries basically saying F you. So they've now gone, which is kind of funny how they do this legally. They've gone to Iran. Iran has stolen these plans in the past and created a new company that's basically building these things. Russia went to Iran and said, hey, oh, you guys can make those too? Cool. We want to be able to make those. And so Iran's like, all right, cool. Sign this contract. Pay us this money for the rights to produce this design, and we'll let you do it. So let me just play that back for you slightly. So a country that stole these designs from another country and started producing them is now licensing them this stolen design. It's licensing this stolen design to people that buy it now. I just think it's kind of funny. It's like, okay, whatever. But, eh. So Russia's like, thanks. This is now helping Iran. It's helping us, and it's hurting you. Well done. And that's seriously what's going on, folks. There's a bunch of bad decisions by the deep state, and they're failing everywhere. So for all the people that are like, oh my God, we're going to get attacked. I don't think so. I think everybody's in this crappy situation right now. Now, China, I'm not sure about, but I think you can see a lot of the world right now is wrestling power away from the deep state, and it's happening uniquely in different countries, but it's happening. Now, we've got some interesting information that seems to be coming out about the balloons. Fox did a neat little one-minute thing here. Check this out.
It also had English writing on it. That's according to a source familiar with this classified briefing to lawmakers today. This is incredibly interesting, Martha, because the State Department, a senior State Department official, just revealed today to reporters that they're confident that this balloon manufacturer had a direct relationship with China's military and is an approved vendor of the PLA. That's according to information that was published in an official procurement portal for the PLA. So that's what they believe, that those parts came from an approved vendor the PLA uses. So now the question is, and I imagine for lawmakers, is who is that vendor? Where is that vendor located? Where are these parts coming from? Because now we're learning they're Western made. Incredibly serious.
I think that tells us a whole bunch, doesn't it? It tells us that China has been doing this for years, that China's been getting technology and stealing technology and working partnerships with U.S. companies and has now weaponized our own products against us. So now all this talk of TikTok, all of this talk of what we're doing with Huawei and their processors, all of this talk about how we're not letting them have chips anymore, all of this has support now. That's what's awesome. China is being called out for what they've been doing. They've been getting special status forever, and they're being called out on it. The people see it now. Not only that, we see how inept Biden is. A lot of people are like, the U.S. launched this. I don't know. China owned up to it. So maybe, but that seems stupid on China's part, doesn't it? If you didn't launch it and you know it's working against you, why would you admit to it? You wouldn't, right? So I don't know if this one was ours. I don't think it was. The fact that they shot it down would indicate to me it was not ours, but they maybe were so locked into the fact they were spying on their own people, or maybe it is the deep state spying on us and they shot, the good guy shot down a bad guy thing. Who knows? Again, this could play out any number of ways, but what it is doing for sure is bringing a crap ton of attention to a problem that exists with China. Now, there was a lot of people that called this a distraction. I don't think so. I think it's a key part of what we're all waking up to, and that the American people need to realize China is not good to us, period. The administration keeps saying they are, but they're not. And now the administration is trapped and has to actually continue to support what the people want. This is not working out well for Biden, that's for sure. So Chinese spy balloon carried technology to monitor communication signals. Now that they have an idea exactly what's on this thing and that some of it's American made, they know exactly what China was doing. High-resolution imagery from U2 flybys revealed that the high-altitude balloon was capable of conducting signals intelligence collection operations. Kind of duh in my mind, really. Of course that's what they were doing. Especially flying over NORAD and nuclear facilities and stuff. Of course that's what they were doing. And probably scanning radar stuff that we talked about, LIDARs or whatever the hell it is. The high-altitude balloon equipment was clearly for intelligence surveillance and inconsistent with the equipment on board weather balloons. It had multiple antennas to include an array likely capable of collecting and geolocating communications. It was equipped with solar panels large enough to produce the requisite power to operate multiple active intelligence collection sensors. Yeah, they had quite an array of solar on there. Plus, like we've talked about, batteries, obviously, to get through the night. This thing had all sorts of crap in it. Three school buses full of stuff, essentially. Think about how much crap you could put up there. Impressive, kind of in its own right. Now, Biden is preparing to let hundreds of thousands of migrants cross the border into U.S. He's coming up with some weird-ass plan with Mexico to deport non-Mexicans, but to make it easier for Mexicans to actually get work permits and whatnot to come across the border. I mean, part of me is like, yeah, all right, I guess that's kind of cool. But the other part of me is like, anything that Biden does is a bad idea. Again, love my Hispanic friends from down under or below us, right? But at the same time, we've got to kind of keep things in control. And right now, what we've got happening at the border is insane. But many of the people coming across the border right now are not from Mexico. They're actually from like Nicaragua and all, right? Like all these other countries south of Mexico. So again, that's where this is like, huh, kind of an interesting idea. I can't imagine it's good because Biden's coming up with it, right? Confirmation bias. Even if he's got a good idea, I'm going to assume it's bad because it's Biden. He's an idiot. And everything he tries to do is deep state. So everything the deep state's doing is wrong. So who knows, right? President Joe Biden is trying to close this deal. Deal would be a breakthrough for the president. That's all the stuff that I needed right there to scare me. Biden has previously said the nation's inability to deport migrants back to their home country was a leading factor to the record number of illegals crossing the U.S. That we've seen in the recent months. Now, Biden, Trump took care of it very easily. He's like, look, just get the word out that they aren't allowed here. I've worked with the president of Mexico. They're now going to remain in Mexico. And shucks, all of a sudden the numbers went way down. It's funny how when you do something better than just talk out your ass, that accomplishments happen. Weird. So weird. House Oversight Panel is requesting records from Hunter Biden and James Biden. Rep. James Comer of Kentucky, the Republican chairman of the House Oversight Accountability Committee, has made the panel's first official request for documents from President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and his brother, James Biden, over foreign business pursuits. In the letters first obtained by CBS's News, Comer informed Hunter and James Biden, as well as their then business manager, that he is seeking documents and communications from the Bidens as part of his committee's probe into any possible involvement by the president in their financial conduct, in particular in foreign business deals with individuals who are connected to the Chinese Communist Party. All of this is coming out right now with the balloon, with this. It's happening, folks. It's happening. All the people that are like, I wish they just, well, they are doing stuff. They are doing stuff. It's playing out at government speed, so they are doing it at their pace, it seems. Now, where is Pete? Which Pete? Which Pete are we talking about? Are we talking about my favorite Pete? We sure are. Pete Buttigieg. Yeah. Anyway, Transportation Safety Secretary Pete Buttigieg, just weeks ago after the flights were grounded, came out and said, oh, you don't know. The flights and problems, we should stop doing that, people. And then come to find out it was an FDA or FAA situation problem with their computers, right? So big strike on him. Two, we had issues at the ports. Pete Buttigieg wasn't able to help us with those at all either. Now we have this giant-ass train crash that happened last Friday, I want to say. It's been about a week now, I think. I kept meaning to report on it and just didn't. But yeah, bad train crash. This is now looking bad on him as well because people are wondering, the government, Biden specifically, just was involved in the union dispute with the train people, right? And then here we go. We got a big, nasty train crash that's, well, just created a giant-ass mess of chemicals that are horrible for the environment and for people. People literally have had to evacuate because of this. So, yeah, Pete's kind of looking bad right now, which, again, Trump was saying that they were trying to groom him for presidency, which is not a bad... I mean, from their standpoint, I can kind of see it. I don't think he'd win, but I can kind of see where they're going with it. But, yeah, this is not going to help him at all, in fact. Alphabet lost over $110 billion in market cap. How many of you guys are invested in Alphabet? Probably a bunch of you, because it's a very stable stock. You should be in it, right? You should be in Google, which is Alphabet. But what happened was, this little AI bot that's come out, it's not done nearly as good as it was supposed to. In fact, it's far subpar from what they thought. And it actually cost a huge drop in the stock price, which ended up costing Google $110 billion in lost worth, and lost value. Again, we talked about DRSLikesGold.com. Think about that for a second. Still the same Google, right? It's the same Google. It's the same five loaves of bread, but it lost a whole bunch of value like that. That's why DRSLikesGold.com. That's why the stock market is a little scary right now. There's a lot of companies that are doing this. Instead of investing in stocks that can do this, invest in something that actually holds its value. I don't want to beat up the point because we're already running long anyway. Five loaves of bread, it holds its value. Whether bread goes up to 10 bucks a loaf or 5 bucks a loaf, this will still buy me five loaves of bread because the value of the dollar changes. The value of this changes accordingly because this holds its value. Well, sorry, the price of this, the dollars that you would get for this changes, but the value stays consistent. It's worth five loaves of bread. Whether they cost 50 bucks or 25 bucks, this holds that value. So this is either worth 25 or 50. Same happens with your stocks, folks. Things happen that are crazy. You can change that. You can actually transfer penalty and tax free. You can transfer your 401k or your IRA into precious metals. They literally can put them in a trust and it's actual physical. It's not paper. It's actual physical gold and silver. They put it into a location that's a trust, probably a safe or something weird, big giant safe, vault, whatever. And that's where it's kept as a retirement. Now, of course, yes, if you want, you can pay that small penalty because there is one if you take the money early. You guys know that. But you can't take it early, too. Take the penalty. And actually, they'll ship you the gold and silver right to your house, to you. And then you've got the value in your hands. You've got choices. You've got options. It's one of the reasons why we love Goldco. Goldco is fantastic in trying to help us work through this process. Get your free wealth protection kit. 4 data points is all you need. 4 data points. Send me my wealth protection kit. Bada bing, bada boom. You're on your way, folks. You're on your way to protecting your wealth. DRSLikesGold.com. DRSLikesGold.com. Let my friends help you out and get your chance at a free Ronald Reagan silver coin. Just fill out the data points, and they're literally going to give you a free 1 ounce silver coin for filling out the 4 data points and getting a wealth protection kit. I know. Sounds too good to be true. Try it and find out. I bet you it isn't. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's how serious Goldco is about trying to get you to consider the bigger picture. DRSLikesGold.com. DRSLikesGold.com. Andy Ngo's Twitter account was restored after the ban of reporting violent Antifa threats, probably too, because we made a lot of noise about it. So, yeah, he got his account back. There you go. I think it's enough. All right, so this is actually, okay, we got some really cool stuff here. I got to get going on this. But booms, right? Rep Clay Higgins warns the Twitter employees they might have some criminal stuff coming. Check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Momentarily, but for the record, Mr. Baker, Ms. Gotti, Mr. Roth, Mr. Navarroli, are you here under the advice of counsel, and do you have counsel present?
Yes, sir.
That was a yes?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I was subpoenaed.
That's good
to
know. I'm glad you all have counsel present. Mr. Chairman, for the for submission for the record, I'd like consent to submit the Twitter files dated December the 8th, posted by the New York Post regarding the suppression of conservative commentators. Like that submitted.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to also submit for the record a timeline of events with cited sources outlining strong evidence of the Biden family organized criminal actions would certainly indicate that we've crossed the threshold of reasonable suspicion. I'd like this timeline submitted for the record.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Just where is that from, that timeline?
Timeline in my hand, boss. I'll get it to you shortly. bottom line, Higgins, the FBI had the Biden crime family laptop for a year. They knew it was leaking. They knew it would hurt the Biden campaign. So the FBI used its relationship with Twitter to suppress criminal evidence being revealed about Joe Biden 1 month before the 2020 elections. You, ladies and gentlemen, interfered with the United States of America 2020 presidential election, knowingly and willingly. That's the bad news. It's going to get worse because this is the investigation part. Later comes the arrest part. Your attorneys are familiar with that. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to spend 5 hours with these ladies and gentlemen doing depositions surely yet to come. But for right now, I'll yield the balance of my time to my colleague, Mr. Jordan.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I think he made the right point.
Bam. All right? Bam. And then we got Rep. Nancy Mace that just killed it. Just absolutely killed it. What's this one? Is this her? Yeah. She rocks the hell out of this. I believe this. Oh, this is Miss Luna. I just wanted to pull this up really quick because she's talking about JIRA, and I think she's just misstating, and it's just kind of an example. And the dude was even concerned, and it's just like, I'll play a minute of it. Check it out.
Mr. Roth, have you communicated with government officials ever on a platform called JIRA? Yes or no? Real quick answer. We're on the clock.
Not
yes
to the best of my recollection.
Not to your recollection? Great. If you did, in the event communicate, who would have had access to this platform?
That's the nature of my confusion.
Okay.
JIRA
did you ever speak to government officials on JIRA regarding taking down social media posts?
Again, not to the best of my recollection.
Can you explain to me why the federal government would ever have interest in communicating through JIRA, mind you, a private cloud server, with social media companies without oversight to censor American voices? I want to let you know that this is a violation of the First Amendment, and the federal government is colluding with social media companies to censor Americans. Mr. Chairman.
All right, let me try to break that down for you guys, because she's actually not She's not sure what the hell Jira is. Jira is a ticketing software. I use it every single day. That is like one of the primary functions of my job is dealing with tickets and writing tickets. I'm essentially a business systems analyst. So I write tickets. I create tickets for work by developers. And they have, you know, specifics in there. Like this is what the software or this stored procedure or whatever needs to do. Boom, make it happen, right? And we put that in Jira. Jira is just a ticketing platform, right? But you can make comments in there on tickets. So I can put at so-and-so, hey, just curious, this is ready for testing. Just wanted to let you know we've pushed it to the lower environment. And they can respond back and say, cool, thanks, Dan, right? And then life is groovy. And so they know that they can now test the software. And I communicated, quote, through Jira. But Jira itself is not like a chat thing. Like if I was to communicate with someone, which I do frequently, either A, I'll hop on a call, which is sometimes easiest, but we've got Teams and we've got Slack. We've got a couple different chat applications that are far better at chatting than Jira. Jira is essentially like email. It's about that slow, right? You got to type at so-and-so and then you hit okay. And unless the dude's got the thing open at that moment and looking at it, he wouldn't know you just left a note on that ticket. You get an email and it'll say you were mentioned, and that's how you know, oh, okay, cool. And then you go into the ticket and you look at the note. So she kind of misspeaks, but at the same time, is it possible that Twitter had tickets on Jira? Very likely. Is it possible that some of these FBI people had access to leave notes on those tickets? Yes. Is that possibly what they were doing when she's accusing them of chatting? Probably. They were probably leaving notes on Twitter's tickets saying this needs to block so-and-so, or do such-and-such. So again, still jacked up, but just understanding what Jira is, I thought, kind of important. Now here's Nancy Mace killing it, and she admits that she's been damaged by the vaccine. I think we'll play at least 3 minutes of this or so. Check it out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Twitter files were not just about Hunter Biden's laptop. Twitter files make it apparent Twitter worked overtime to suppress accurate COVID information. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is a professor of medicine at Stanford who once tweeted an article he wrote about natural immunity. Thanks to Elon Musk's release of the Twitter files, we learned some of his tweets were tagged with the label of Trends Blacklist. Apparently, the views of a Stanford doctor are disinformation to you people. I, along with many Americans, have long-term effects from COVID. Not only was I a long hauler, but I have effects from the vaccine. It wasn't the first shot, but it was the second shot that I now developed asthma that has never gone away since I had the second shot. I have tremors in my left hand, and I have the occasional heart pain that no doctor can explain, and I've had a battery of tests. I find it extremely alarming Twitter's unfettered censorship spread into medical fields and affected millions of Americans by suppressing expert opinions from doctors and censoring those who disagree with the CDC. I have great regrets about getting the shot because of the health issues that I now have that I don't think are ever going to go away. And I know that I'm not the only American who has those kinds of concerns. Another example of what Twitter has done to censor folks is from Dr. Martin Kulldorff, a Harvard-educated epidemiologist, who once tweeted, COVID vaccines are important for high-risk people and their caretakers. Those with prior natural infection do not need it, nor children. The Twitter files reveal this tweet was deemed false information because it ran contrary to the CDC. So my first question this morning of Ms. Gaddy, may I ask of you, where did you go to medical school?
I did not go to medical school.
I'm sorry?
I did not go to medical school.
That's what I thought. Why do you think you or anyone else at Twitter had the medical expertise to censor a doctor's expert opinion?
Our policies regarding COVID were designed to protect individuals. We were seeing
you guys censored Harvard-educated doctors, Stanford-educated doctors, doctors that are educated in the best places in the world, and you silenced those voices. My next question is, did the U.S. government, I have another chart I want to show you, Ms. Gaddy. I have another tweet by someone with a following of a full 18,000 followers. This person put a chart from the CDC on Twitter. It's the CDC's own data, so it's accurate by your standards, and you all labeled this as misleading. You're not a doctor, right, Ms. Gaddy?
No, I'm not.
Okay. What makes you think you or anyone else of Twitter have the medical expertise to censor actual accurate CDC data.
I'm not familiar with these particular situations.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not. But this is what Twitter did. They labeled this as inaccurate. It is the government's own data. It's ridiculous that we're even having to have this conversation today. It's not just about the laptop. This is about medical advice that expert doctors were trying to give Americans because social media companies like Twitter were silencing their voices. I have another question, my last one for you, Ms. Gatti. Did the U.S. government ever contact you or anyone at Twitter to pressure Twitter to moderate or censor certain tweets? Yes or no?
We have a program.
Did the U.S. government ever contact you or anyone at Twitter to censor or moderate certain tweets? Yes or no?
We receive legal demands to remove content from the platform from the U.S. government and governments all around the world. Those are published on a third-party website, and anyone can read
them. Thank God for Matt Taibbi. Thank God for Elon Musk for allowing to show us in the world that Twitter was basically a subsidiary of the FBI.
Bam. She keeps going. Only about a minute more, but incredible. Elon Musk says the woke Stasi felt heat today. They sure did, regarding all of the stuff that they just went through. Twitter execs are in big trouble. They are potentially facing criminal liability. Of course, we've got CNN Business. Republicans held a hearing to prove Twitter's bias against them. It backfired in spectacular fashion. MSNBC. Why the Twitter Hunter Biden hearing backfired on Republicans. Did it? Yeah, because the Trump campaign asking Twitter to remove a vile Chrissy Teigen tweet, and this is what they're all basing it off of. Trump asked them to remove one tweet, which again, I think is effed up. I don't think that's okay either, by the way. But the government had done it countless times, hundreds of times. Trump, we got one. Well, they flew a balloon over Trump, too. Trump asked to take somebody down. Really? Is that what you got? Deep state? We'll take it. That's fine. All right. Watch what we do with this. One person. Only one time Trump ever asked anybody to do anything. But they block stuff that changed the outcome of the election. They block stuff that actually affect people's health and livelihood and abilities to live. Yeah. Big ass difference, deep state. Yeah, Chrissy Teigen's tweet was taken down. All right, whatever. Or he asked. Actually, he asked to have it taken down. It never was taken down, in my understanding, but whatever. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But this is just the way this whole thing with them is backfiring. They're losing the narrative badly. Donald Trump's Facebook account's been reinstated. Who gives a whoopee what? We'll see if he posts anything. I don't think Trump cares. I'll be honest, and it could happen, but I will be disappointed if he does post on Facebook. I'll be disappointed if he tweets on Twitter unless it's the infamous tweet. Okay? I'll admit it now, and I'll fall on that sword. I don't care if it happens. It happens. I'll be like, yeah, I'm disappointed. I'll admit it. No big deal. But I will be very disappointed if he does either of those things. I don't think he will, but who knows? Now, I'm just reminding you guys, because I brought this up a couple times. I've shared this story, I don't know, like 5 days ago or something. Everything bleeds together. I can't tell. Something strange about the timing of egg shortages and the price spikes, as separate studies show chicken egg yolks neutralize and mitigate COVID SARS-CoV-2. Period. There's an abstract that's been done on it. Again, this SARS-CoV-2 virus is spreading. They have found that the egg yolk antibodies, the IgY, as a neutralizing agent against the SARS-CoV-2. Again, so there is something to be said about eggs and a antibody in eggs, chicken eggs specifically, I should say, that actually helps protect us from SARS-CoV-2. Just funny quinkity. Fauci says vaccines should not have been expected to control the pandemic. I'm so out of time. This sucks. The problem is scientifics, crafting. It's just the way vaccines work when it comes to flus and stuff like that. For 66 years, they've had vaccines for flus. They've yet to actually figure out how to make them keep us from getting sick. Basically is what that's saying. It's Fauci's report. So House votes to end the vaccine mandate for foreign travelers to the United States. We'll see if they manage to pull that off. Oh my God, the Project Veritas stuff. Oh, so out of time. Love it. 65 plus employees. They kicked him off. Project Veritas. James O'Keefe has been, he's suspended right now or whatever. They're apparently trying to fire him. One Twitter thread by at Amuse suggests that Barry Hinckley, Project Veritas's new chief strategy officer, is responsible for O'Keefe's targeting. Hinckley, a former Goldman Sachs COO, was hired 4 months ago at Project Veritas. He is the heir to the Hinckley Yachts family, a failed Senate candidate from Rhode Island, and CEO of a failed company that called itself the Airbnb of private house parties. The Twitter user alleged that Hinckley recruited 11 Project Veritas employees to sign a letter that labeled O'Keefe as a power-drunk tyrant, which was then sent to the board of directors. Reportedly, O'Keefe fired Hinckley and the CFO, Tom O'Hara, as a result of the attempts to oust him, this dude. Kind of an interesting picture. And he looks like a total bastard. Total bastard. She looks kind of hot, though. Let's just be honest. Anywho, so they are trying to kick him out of Project Veritas. It's his company, I think, to a large extent. Well, they got a board, so obviously it's not his company. Swig said, the board held a 6.5-hour struggle session versus James where they subjected him to constant derision and insults at the insistence of Tireman, O'Hara, and Hinckley. About 10 employees aired their grievances about James, which essentially boiled down to him being a tough boss to work for. At the end of this 6-hour struggle session, Tireman and his fellow board members, John Garvey, put him out on leave and stripped him of all authority. It was literally a Stalin-esque kangaroo court trial. The thing that is so very profound to me that no one seems to grasp, John Garvey and the rest of the board did nothing to stop it. Matt Tireman had it all scripted, all 6 effing hours. This comes in the immediate aftermath of at Project Veritas's greatest moment ever, exposing corruption at Pfizer, which my source thought was extremely suspicious timing, right? You boot the founder right after your biggest win of all time? No. Something behind this. This Hinckley guy, likely, allegedly, I'm guessing, actually was working for the deep state's interests and trying to remove O'Keefe because of the damage he keeps doing. This is the deep state attacking Project Veritas. Now, again, a lot of people have been saying, and I think it's very true, O'Keefe is Project Veritas. Where he goes, we're probably going to follow. It won't matter what the hell you call it. You can call it Project Butthole at that point. We won't care. We'll follow you, O'Keefe. And then here's this person. I don't know. I think this is their attempt of Anon Famous. I feel like this is a BS account that's trying to put the deep state spin on it within our own circles. So I'm calling it out for that, but I don't know. But it says, by the way, I wouldn't unfollow Project Veritas or blame them because it looks like they are just protecting themselves. Apparently, James O'Keefe is tied to a lawsuit. But this lawsuit has to do with someone else that was trying to get inside the YouTube's global head and trust or whatever the hell. So one of his people, who O'Keefe probably asked to do this, got in trouble and is being investigated. So because of that, we're supposed to, what, trust Project Veritas? See, again, I think it's kind of a crap thing, but whatever. Whatever. It is what it is. All right. Is any of this really? Oh, John Fetterman hospitalized, right? Yeah, he's not serious, but I'd be honest, I don't like this guy, and I don't wish anything bad on him, but he's definitely not healthy. He should not have won the election. Maybe Oz was a bad choice too, though. Well, whatever. Might have been screwed either way. Sanders is calling on Starbucks CEO to testify about the coffee giant's labor practices. They are, Sanders, of course, wild-eyed, crazy-ass Sanders is pissed off that they're not letting Starbucks is fighting unionization big time, which is funny considering how woke with Charles Schulz is. Whatever. Disney, what they do? Oh, yeah, they're cutting 7,000 jobs. This kind of made me laugh, and I think I'm going to call it probably here. Yeah, there's some decent, there's some good stories, but whatever. I just run out of time as I waste more. 7,000 layoffs. And the reason they're doing this is they're expecting to save $5.5 billion by laying off 7,000 people. I don't know about you, but instantly my mind's like, that doesn't seem right. So I went and did some math. Love math. I did $5.5 billion or $5.5 billion, and I divided by 7,000. And I ended up with an average of $785,714 per person. as an average, which means I bet a bunch of these are lower paid people, and then a few of them are extremely high paid people. If they're expecting to save $5.5 billion by laying off 7,000 people, wow. Now I get there's probably living expenses, office expenses. I get it. There's some other stuff that can be factored in. I'm still saying the average per person, all things factored in, is $785,000 per person. Damn. That's all I can say. Folks, we're making a difference. We're changing the world. It's not easy. It's hard work. But we're doing it. Remember that. Keep pushing forward with me, please. Join me every day. We're going to talk about what's going on. We're going to talk about the good stuff, talk about some of the bad stuff. But ultimately, this is a process that's playing out. We are literally living through the manifestation of the removal of evil from this planet, I truly believe, at least from government thus far. But I expect that to go much, much further over the coming years. This will take time. This is not going to end overnight. The pain is going to extend. I think we've got a little bit of a big kind of hiccup coming. So just be prepared. Have your emergency kits ready. Don't be thinking, don't be lowering your guard, because that's when it happens, right? So keep your guard up. It's coming, folks. Stand strong. I love you guys. Where we go one, we go all. It's On the Fringe with Dan Radio Style.